You're listening to an audio sermon by Pastor Bernard Mulder from Household of Christ. We trust that you will be encouraged and blessed as you listen to the Word of God.
Today I want to continue with the second part to Secrets to Answered Prayer. Last week we started and we looked at the link between faith and forgiveness. That if you want strong faith, you need strong forgiveness because faith works through love. So I want to continue today. One thing we have to say is that prayer changes us. When we fast, fasting changes us. Fasting does not change God. Amen? Sometimes we think we can twist God's arm with fasting or with praying. No. God is God, and He acts and works according to His word. Amen? The only way that we can please God is through faith. Hebrews 11 verse 1, spoke a lot about it last week. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And we said that substance is Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross. And then whatever we are praying, don't look at yourself, but look to the cross where the price was paid. Don't put faith in your faith, but put your faith in the complete work upon the cross. Because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? So I want to look at some building blocks today, and we're going to touch on a few, and then I'm going to bring it all together so that you can pray effective prayers. Amen. So what we have to know and understand is that faith is released from our hearts. Amen. We believe with our heart. We trust with our heart. So your heart is key. Romans 10 verse 9 to 10, when we make a confession unto salvation, with your mouth you make the confession unto salvation, but you believe in your heart unto righteousness. So righteousness is not for those who confess it, for those who believe it. Amen? You have to believe that you've become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Many prayers that are often prayed are prayed with a heart without faith. No faith in the heart, just praying the prayer. And a lot of words being uttered, but the key when it comes to prayer is not in the words, if we look at the Lord's Prayer, but it's in the pattern. Let me not say too much about that. Maybe by God's grace, I'll teach on the Lord's Prayer as well. But here's the key. Psalm 19 verse 14 says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable. What you say and what you believe, these things should be acceptable to God. The greatest challenge for us, your confession should have your heart's full agreement. Your confession should have your heart's full agreement. How many times do we greet people? Franz, just come here quickly. Your confession needs your heart's full agreement. How many times do we greet people? Hello, how are you? So good to see you. But your mouth is saying, so good to see you. But your heart is, what are you doing here? Am I talking to the right people here? So good to see you at church. And your heart says, who invited you? Amen. Okay, go have a seat. Thank you. Glad you're in church, Franz. He's one of our key pastors. Give the Lord a hand for Franz. So God looks at your heart. So you might fool people and everybody can think, oh, he's the friendly greeter. But God looks at your heart and says, he's the miserable guy. Matthew 15 verse 8, the Bible says, these people draw near to me with their mouth, but their hearts are far from me. So if some people come to church and they sing, Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I adore you. Jesus, you are holy, 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 holy. but their hearts are far from God. He says, I can see that. Don't think you are close to me because you are saying it with your mouth. I'm looking at your heart. Turn to the person next to you and say, Jesus is looking at your heart. Can I go on? 2 Chronicles 16 verse 9, it says the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, moves all over the earth, up and down, from the east to the west, from the north to the south, looking for those with a loyal heart. This is what God wants, looking for those with a loyal heart. So let me just say this. God responds according to the condition of your heart. God is after your heart. So when we want to pray, the first thing we have to look at is the condition of your heart. That's what the Bible says. When you are praying and you know your heart is telling you, this brother is offended with you, your heart tells you, you're offended with that brother. He says, leave what you are bringing, the gift, leave it and go and make right with the brother. Because our relationship with the people around us affects our relationship with God. Our relationship with God depends far more on the relationship with the people around us than what we realize. A matter of fact, let me just say this. Your thoughts are louder in heaven than your words. Your thoughts, your heart's cry is louder in heaven than your actual words. Because God can see whether you're walking by faith or you're walking by sight. Let me give you an example quickly from the Bible. Exodus 14, verse 13 and 14. You all love to quote it. The enemy that you see today, you will no longer see it. Have you ever quoted that to people? With your mouth? Did you believe it with your heart when you were saying that? So let me read it to you, and I'm going to show you something here. That your heart's cry is louder in heaven than what you are saying. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. And you shall behold your peace. You shall hold your peace. Amen. It says, for the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see them again no more forever. Can I have an amen? Amen. Verse 14, look at this. First, Moses is speaking to the people. Moses is not crying out to God. Moses is speaking to the people. Nowhere is there a scripture where he's crying out to God. Verse 14, then the Lord will fight for you and you shall hold your peace. Verse 15, and the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. Moses is busy talking to the people. Listen, just stay calm. Just stay calm. God is going to fight for you. But in his heart, he's going, Jesus, can you open the sea? Every man, every woman has got their own way of communicating with God. What God hears the loudest is your heart's cry. He gives you the desires of your heart. Amen? Hannah, when she was praying, the man of God was looking at her. Eli was looking at her from a natural point of view and thinking, this woman's drunk. We don't allow drunk people in the church. Why are you intoxicated in the church? He says, I'm not drunk. It's my heart's cry before God. I'm without child, God. Give me a child. He says, this is your way before God. Your petition has been granted. You'll have a child a year from now. Zacchaeus in the tree was shouting at the top of his voice, Jesus! But that shout had his heart's full agreement, and Jesus heard him and said, today I'll be in your house. So whether it's a soft cry, Jesus, open the Red Sea! Moses, take it easy. I've heard you. Just move forward. Am I talking to the right people here today? Let me just say this. Every man and woman has got their own way before God. Don't be a copycat. Find your own way before God. Because of all graces, faith honors God the most. But of all graces, God honors faith the most. Whether you are praying like a Hannah that looks like she's drunk, God will hear that prayer. Whether it's a Daniel just going on his knees, giving thanks three times a day. Thank you, Jesus. You're my protector. Thank you, Jesus. You're my provider. Thank you, Jesus. You're the one leading and guiding me. Three times a day, simple prayer, close the mouths of lions. Amen. So the big thing is, how do you know that somebody is really trusting God? How do we know? I spoke a lot about the trust and the confidence in the substance last week. So go listen to that if you've not heard that sermon. But here, Matthew 7 verse 21 says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. So number one, I just want to, everybody that says Jesus, Jesus, is not going to have results. Because there are many people in the world every day that use the Lord's name in vain. Use it in vain. 1 Corinthians 12. I'll come back to the obedience part, doing the will of God now. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 12 verse 3. It says, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So let me just tell you something. If you want to say Jesus is Lord, you need the help of the Holy Spirit. You need to be born from above. Amen? All Christian service should be done in the power of the Holy Spirit. We have a leaders meeting today. Our leaders know. You cannot serve in the children's church without the help of the Holy Spirit. You cannot be at the information desk greeting people without the help of the Holy Spirit. You cannot be an usher or a deacon without the help of the Holy Spirit. You cannot worship without the help of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, wait in Jerusalem until you've received power, until the Holy Spirit has been poured on you, in you, working in you, with you, through you. Then you go and serve. Too many times you want to pray, too many times you want to use the name of Jesus, but it's not in the power of the Holy Spirit. If you want to see the name of Jesus work in the Spirit, it's by the help of the Holy Spirit. It is a total dependence upon God. Not even God the Father spoke one word into existence until the Holy Spirit was on the scene. Go read Genesis 1 verse 2. The earth had no form, it was void, darkness, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Verse 3, and God said, let there be light. So not even God the Father spoke one word into existence until the Holy Spirit was on the scene. Don't try and do anything in your own strength, but do everything in the power and the strength of the Holy Spirit. So even prayer should be done in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why prayers should be led by the Holy Spirit and not by your situation and circumstances. When Daniel heard the decree that he was going to be thrown into the lion's den, he didn't call Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and say, oh boy, he's come. Spiritual warfare time. We have to bind some things, rebuke some things, resist some things. He says, no, I've got this. I'm just going to continue to say thank you three times a day. So it's not saying the name of Jesus with your mouth, but it's believing with your heart in that name. Acts 3 verse 16 says, it's faith in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that has made this man strong, that has made him well. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man whole. It's made this man strong. Amen? Turn to the person next to you and say, you need the Holy Spirit more than what you realize. So, faith is the one thing that we need. And faith is that substance, Jesus Christ. Your life reflects what's going on in your heart, because out of the heart flows the issues of life. Proverbs says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Not what you say. You can tell people, I'm cool, I'm great, I'm the one. But what do you believe in your heart? And somebody can be quiet in humility, but they're walking in the strength and confidence of God. It's not the person that makes the loudest noise that's got the most confidence. Because true humility is a total dependence upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody can be quiet and totally relying on God. It's the pure in heart that will see God. That's what the Bible says. So it's, everything is about the heart. So I'm touching on the heart. I think what's very important that you believe in your heart what is the will of God. So if you have a pain in your leg, to know that it's the will of God to heal that pain. And if that pain is not gone and God is considering your prayer request, it's for a reason. Can I have an amen? Turn to the person next to you, say whether you like it or not. God is in control of your life. God wants to take us from where we are to where He wants us to be. And sometimes in that process, we'd like to tell God how to do it. You know, even Jesus, the Son of God, I love this. Well, let me just say this. Even Jesus, the Son of God, Matthew 4 teaches us that He was tempted. That teaches us it doesn't matter how close you are to God, you can still be tempted. Turn to the person next to you and say, I don't know how long you've been serving Jesus, but I want to tell you, you can still be tempted because Jesus was tempted. So number one, you can be tempted. And if temptation comes, God will always show you the way out. But the way is always through the Word of God. Amen. Number two, you should know the will of God. Jesus Himself prayed this prayer. And He said, Father, if there's any way possible, let this cup pass me by. But not my will, your will. Turn to the person next to you and say, obedience. Not everybody that says, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of God, but those that do the will of my Father. Jesus came here and He said, Lord, not my will, your will. Oftentimes we think that Jesus did this, but He didn't really want to do it. That's nonsense. Let me just tell you, that's absolute nonsense. Jesus was not in rebellion and doing it with a heart that was not happy. When He discovered the will of the Father's will became His will. It's the same test that was written in 1 Samuel 15 verse 22 when Samuel came to Saul and he said, does the Lord have a delight in your sacrifice? No. Obedience is better than sacrifice. He understood that it's all about obedience. You can go read Philippians 2 verse 8. Jesus' name that we use to move things and change things in the Spirit was exalted above all other names, not because of the sacrifice, but because of His obedience. The Bible says, because He was prepared to become obedient to the place of death, God honored Him and gave Him a name above all other names. That at the mention of that name, every knee should bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. It was Abraham's obedience. Sacrifice your son, the one whom you love, your only one. Early the next morning, he got up and he said, let's go. And he didn't see it as sacrifice. When his servants asked him, where are you going? He said, me and the lad are going yonder to worship. So when you understand God's will for your life, even if it's called sacrifice, once in your heart, His will has become your will. That sacrifice is no longer called sacrifice. It's called worship. Because it's your obedience unto the Lord. Am I talking to the right people here? Romans 4 verse 3 says, for what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God. Abraham became obedient to God. And it was accounted to him for righteousness. Romans 6 verse 16 says, obedience leading to righteousness. This is one of the major blocks, secrets to effective prayer. The righteousness of God. Not your righteousness, God's righteousness. Matthew 6 verse 33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Amen? So can you remember the blocks that we've touched on? Number one, the heart. Have to make sure that this heart is offense-free. Have to make sure that you allow the holiness of God into this heart. That you think upon things from above. Things that are pure, things that are holy, things that will build up, things that will encourage. Number two, you need the help of the Holy Spirit if you're going to pray. Because if you're going to pray in your own strength, it's just your words. Amen? But if you pray in the power of the Holy Spirit, things will change. That's why God gave us a heavenly language, that you can disconnect this and just pray in the Spirit, God's perfect will. Amen? You have to put faith in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because that name is above everything else. Every knee must bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Because why? His obedience to the point of death. Once you say you'll be obedient, then God can ask any sacrifice from you and nothing will be too big. But when you think it's a sacrifice that you are making, we're missing it. God is not after the sacrifice. He's after your obedience. Turn to the person next to you, say, obedience is better than sacrifice. You know, it's in our nature when we've been disobedient to want to make a sacrifice. I'll make it up to you. Don't worry, I'll make it up to you. I want to make the sacrifice. God says, I'm looking at the obedience. Amen? Obedience is better than sacrifice. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, what does it say? For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Why is this so important? Why does the Bible say, seek first the kingdom of God, seek first righteousness? Because God's eyes are upon the righteous. His ears are attentive to their prayers. That's under the new covenant, where he's made us righteous. Remember, under the old covenant, when they sinned and clothed with unrighteousness, what does the Bible say in Psalm 65? It says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear me. That's what the Bible says. Under the new covenant, when we believe that he who knew no sin became sin, that we can become his righteousness, he says, my ears are attentive to those that believe in what my son has done. I can hear what they are saying. I hear them. Under the old covenant, when you sinned, what happened? The Holy Spirit departed from you. That's what David said. When David sinned, he said in Psalm 51, do not let your spirit depart from me. Why? Because he knew he was not a giant slayer. He knew he had a friend in the Holy Spirit. He knew that if I had to run onto that battlefield, if God is not with me, I'm dead. He said, you've not come against me, you've come against my God. But now he knew the presence of God has departed from him because of sin. He says, don't let your spirit depart from me. That's old covenant. So if you sinned, if you messed up, the Spirit of God would depart, not listen to you. New covenant, he says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Can I have one amen? Somebody be happy about that. Turn to the person next to you and say, God will never leave you nor forsake you. But Paul says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit that's on the inside of you. So now when we practice unrighteousness, we are grieving the Holy Spirit. But what does Acts 5 verse 32 say? So let's just wrap it up quickly. Pure heart. Make sure that this heart is connected with God. Faith in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Make sure that you're putting your trust in the Holy Spirit to work in you and through you. And then make sure that you are clothed with the righteousness of Christ Jesus, that position that you're in Christ Jesus. He says, if you do that, you can expect things to happen. Amen? When you do that, you can expect things to happen. It's very important that you don't start walking in your own righteousness. Turn to the person next to you and say, not your own righteousness. So let me just, two key things here. Turn to the person next to you and say, you're going to have to be obedient to the Word of God. So the more you become obedient to God's Word and you say, Lord, your will be done, not my will. Lord, let everything about me become everything about you. Uproot everything that's not of you. Give me everything that's of you. The more you become obedient to God's Word, there's two things that's going to happen. Number one, Acts 5 verse 32. When you're obedient, the Holy Spirit is given to those who are obedient. So if you want more Holy Spirit in your life, become more obedient. Amen? And when you're obedient, that obedience to the Word of God is accounted to you as righteousness. Amen? Am I helping some of you? Then make sure that when you're going to pray, you know what is the will of God, that you are fully persuaded in your heart that you speak what you believe, that your confession has your heart's full agreement. Now, we can pray an effective prayer. James summarizes this for us. Can I, in closing, share this with you? Go to James 5 verse 16. Look here, he says, confess your trespasses to one another. He says, if there's something nasty in your heart, just confess it and get it out of the way. If you're offended, confess it. And pray for one another that you may be healed. Then he says, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. What is effective prayer? Effective prayer is praying the Spirit. If you want to see the name of Jesus work in the Spirit, that's effective prayer. Jesus dealt with sin in the Spirit. Amen? Sin is a spiritual thing, and Christ dealt with it. That's why you have to be born again. That's why you need your heavenly language. Effective prayer is praying the Spirit. Amen? Turn to the person next to you and say, effective prayer is praying the Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit helping you. Effective, fervent prayer. What's fervent prayer? Fervent prayer is that heart's prayer. That's praying with all your heart. Jesus, open the Red Sea. That's with all your heart. Be healed. I speak healing, Lord. I speak righteousness. Come on, your light into this dark situation, Lord. Believing with your heart, fervent. Of a righteous man. What is that? That's that position in Christ Jesus. He who knew no sin became sin so that you can be clothed with the righteousness of God, so that God the Father's eyes are upon you. His ears are attentive to your prayer. He says those kind of prayers, they avail much. That's a Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego sitting there, and the king says, I'm going to burn you. And they say, King, whether you burn us or not is not even the issue. Let's tell you about our God. Whether our God delivers us or not, we just want to tell you he's our deliverer. And heaven says, did you hear what they've just said? Told the king that I'm going to deliver them, or whether I deliver them or not, they're holding their position in Christ. They're keeping their faith in me. You know what? Let this king just see the fourth person there, that we can turn a whole nation back to God. And that prayer avails much. A Daniel that just goes on his knees. Thank you, Father, for your protection. Thank you, Father, for your provision. Thank you, Father, for leading and guiding me. Thank you, Father, for putting me in this position. 3 times a day, just giving thanks. effectively in the Spirit, fervently with all his heart, claiming his righteousness in God. And God just says, I'm closing that lion's mouth. Esther appearing before a king that could kill her. A David in front of a giant. See, did you see what that young boy is doing? He's walking on there with a stone, five of them. Did you hear what he's saying to the giant? He's saying to the giant, you've not come against me. You've come against my God. He's believing, Holy Spirit, that you are with him. He's believing that you are his friend. Let's make that prayer effective. Let's make that declaration effective. And when he made that confession, it had an impact in the Spirit. Very interesting. David and Goliath had the same confession. The giant said to him, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to feed your flesh to the birds of the air. But his confession came from the realm of defeat and failure. But David found himself here in the realm of Jesus Christ. Victory in Christ Jesus. Where he could come and pray an effective, fervent prayer. And says, now I've got news for you. You've not come against me, you've come against my God. And I want to tell you something. You're going to die today. And I'm going to feed your flesh to the birds of the air. God says, you know what? We're going to have to do much more. This prayer is going to avail much. Not only this giant is going to die. We're going to give victory for Israel over all of these Philistines. He says, did you hear what he confessed? He confessed he's in covenant with me. He says, this uncircumcised Philistine, how dare you come against me? I'm in covenant with God. I'm close to the righteousness of God. The prayers that I pray are not ordinary prayers. When I pray Ephesians 3:20, God is going to do far more abundantly above whatever I can do, whatever I can ask. I want to tell you, your thoughts, your heart's cries are louder in heaven than your words. So be careful what you are thinking. Be careful what you desire because God can see it. Amen? God is aware of your every situation. Why don't you go out? Because you know you've become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Not your righteousness, his righteousness. And go pray some big prayers. Because God's eyes are upon you. His ears are attentive to your prayers. A matter of fact, through Jesus Christ, God has positioned you so that he will be interested in whatever you say and whatever you do. Because it's the righteousness of God. His eyes are upon the righteous. His ears are attentive to your prayers. So why don't you go pray some big prayers and see what God will do. See you.
Thank you for listening to this audio sermon. For more information, please go to our website, www.hoc.org.za. Household of Christ, loving God, loving people.